Bush and Richie here with your daily takeaway. Something happened yesterday. In fact, we've talked about this sensation before, but I had a new one yesterday. You know when you get those rare evenings where you're thinking, oh, this is the evening where I'm on the Xbox, this is the evening I'm on the PlayStation, etc., etc.
Yes, that's a little night to yourself.
Very rare as one gets into your mid-40s, and it's probably early 40s, and that's probably a good thing. Yesterday, I had a new one, turned it on. Now, normally, it needs a system upgrade or something or other, or the game needs updating.
They're always at it, aren't they?
Yesterday, the entire Xbox network down.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I turned it on in the evening. I'm like, what? What's going on here?
So, but you can still play the game.
No.
You know, I can't even play it.
Couldn't play it.
I thought the network is like, if you wanted to like get like trash talk by like a 15-year-old from Arkansas.
Couldn't log in to my profile. Could not do anything. So then I went on Twitter and like typed in Xbox, see if anyone else is like moaning about the same problem. And then it turned out the whole world was. And then I went on like Xbox support and it said,
brilliant,
sorry, we're investigating them. So in some respect, there was a little bit of solace to think that nobody was able to game last night.
Well, it makes you go back to the thing we were talking about on yesterday's Home Time show. Get yourself a Sinclair Spectrum.
Yes.
Get a couple of cassettes out, yeah. Start uploading them.
Yeah.
Put your pasta on. By the time you've eaten your dinner, it'll be ready to play one game.
And the real thing was, like, because Natalie was dyeing her hair last night. So, like, then she comes downstairs after about, like, 50 minutes of just...
Alvin Stardust over there.
Yeah, 50 minutes of, like, noise upstairs and comes down and goes, fun on your Xbox? And I'm like, no, he's not worked at all. I've literally been sat down here fuming.
Does Natalie have the thing where... Because my mum used to do this when I was a kid, where she's got like a rubber mask that goes on the top of her head with loads of holes in it, and she pulls with a hook, pulls bits of hair through, and then dyes them. Does she do that?
I've not seen her use that. What she seems to use is a paintbrush,
yeah,
and a very tatty t-shirt. And a Tupperware bowl that I don't know where it ever comes from.
Strange, isn't it? Some of the tools of the trade.
Yeah.
Hey, weirdly enough, in the show you're about to hear, we talk about behind the scenes. That's a bit of behind the scenes.
And here's the thing, right? I'm going to go on a rant here. This is dangerous. Could end the marriage. She's had to do that with like bleach and all that kind of stuff on the carpet. Yeah, I get told off for shaving.
Yeah, it's incredible. Where's their little fold-up tent thing they have to put under their chins? Huh?
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Now, big gig for me this morning. We spoke about it on yesterday's show, Careers Week at the Primary School. Yes, I'd been invited in to speak to the kids about a life in radio and working in the media. What are you laughing at?
My life in radio. So, of course, during the war years, they had the ups and downs with the Blitz and the Germans and everything. We just had to carry on and do the best that we could.
There were moments where I did feel a little bit like that. I didn't quite appreciate that there were four different classes that I was talking to. I thought it was going to be one great big gathered group in the school hall, much like Clockwork with John Cleese in back in the day.
So you said an hour and a half or whatever early on. I thought that was just one big long talk with questions.
No. Shuffled through four different classes.
Wow.
Which did, I must admit, give me the chance to hone my talk somewhat, because I've got to be honest, the first class, I was so nervous.
It's nerve-wracking.
Beads of sweat on my forehead, looking down at my notes all the time.
Were you seated on a high stool or were you standing? What was your kind of vibe?
Stood patrolling the front of the classroom.
Like it. Like an aggressive PE teacher.
Going back to my iPad every now and then to check the notes. But I didn't need that. By the time I was in the fourth classroom, I nailed it.
Nailed
I knew
it.
Everything off by heart. I knew the things that were going to go down well with them. What the kids loved was some of the guests that you and I have got to be able to interview. They lapped up all the Chris Pratt stuff and The Rock and Hugh Jackman. They practically think I know these guys.
Well, we technically do. Friends of the show.
WhatsApping them all the time. Did get a question, do I know how to rap because I'm a DJ? Had to disappoint them. No.
I would have stopped the talk there and just said, you know, definitely need to sit down and have a proper talk about this whole career thing.
Somewhat disappointingly, they'd never heard of Kasabian when they asked who my favourite band was.
Oh, really?
Blank faces.
It's all TikTok and that now, isn't it, with kids?
But I got access to the staff room.
Oh, my word. I've never been in one.
No.
Did it smell of filter coffee in confiscated goods.
There was definitely a lot of coffee and tea going on in there. They had one of those posh hot tap things.
Really?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, each hot water just coming out.
You press a button and instant hot water comes
instant
out.
Instant hot water tap. That's one thing that I did. Well, I probably shouldn't say too much about it because a school teacher will probably come in and shut it down. They don't want all the secrets of the staff room shared.
Maybe they've got all sorts of stuff. Maybe they bathe in like milk. You know, like stuff like they used to do in the Roman times. They've got like loads of wine in there and stuff, and that lizards.
Interestingly, I was only in there for about 2 minutes when one of the other teachers realised that I was free to do the next talk and just bustled straight into the staff room and whipped me out, because they don't want you in there. They don't want you seeing what's going on in the staff room.
They're asking in the hallway, did he see the Ferrero Rocher?
It's what I like to call a behind the curtains room. Another behind the curtains room, for example, I would say would be in a chemist, where they disappear up on the next level behind a counter. You always crane your neck to see what's going on with the chemist, and that's when the chemist will go, is everything all right? They don't like you looking. It's a behind the curtains area.
They seem to have some incredible, you know, like you've got like a load of like shelves, but you push the shelves down and it rotates into more shelves, and then it's gone.
It's clever, isn't it?
You know, like if you've got like a kitchen upstairs in a restaurant and they press a bell and then you open a thing, a hatch, and it's just there.
Yeah.
They have that in chemists,
they
I think.
They do. They have
from what I've seen, I've been ushered off. Do you know what I mean?
You'll be shut down if you keep talking about
it. Well, they don't want the secret to be out.
What other places would you like to see behind the curtain of? Dan says, fetch the products. Where they fetch the products from in the old school Argos. Always had the vibe of that huge storage facility at the end of Indiana Jones.
I reckon it's them doozers from Fraggle Rock. That's what they're doing back there. Do you know what? Someone I'd like to have a look behind the scenes of, and that is the back of one of them change booths you get on a bridge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's not much of a thing anymore. I remember, like, the Mersey Tunnel, you always used to have someone that you give the change to and they give you the ticket. But they've got a little booth in there. Yeah. And I always imagine they've got quite a sweet trucker set up. Yeah. So, little heater, maybe a book, flask of coffee, and somewhere to sit down.
Definitely the case. I'm sure we're going to hear that is the glamour of that.
Wouldn't it be good if you operate out of some form of booth? Do tell us about it.
Brownie's hanging on. Now, you actually get to frequent a staff room every day, yeah?
Sadly, yes.
But, like, Richie had a little go in there this morning and it was said it was amazing. It was like a nice luxurious place. Are they not luxury?
It's the teacher's code. We're not allowed to speak about things. The first rule of the staff room is never speak about the staff room.
This is it. Anyone who's been in there and maybe started shooting their mouths off in the press has disappeared.
Brownie, how will the teachers react to the fact that I shared earlier on the show that they've got one of those posh hot taps in there? How will that go down now that the public know that?
I bet you will never be invited back to that school.
That's it, one and out. Brownie, is there anywhere else that you would like to peer behind the curtain and have a look at, like a hidden room or a secret thing in life?
Just that thing where, in the old-fashioned shops, where they used to put the cash into those cylinders, take them behind the counter and, like, eject them, like, send them around the stores through a tube system. I used to be fascinated by that as a kid. Absolutely fascinated.
You still saw that in, like, some supermarkets, didn't you? They'd put it in that tube and it would just go up into the ceiling and disappear off.
Is it sucking all the time and then you just put it in and it gets sucked up, or do you have to tap and then someone sucks it upstairs?
That sounds to me as a bit dangerous if it's sucking all the time.
Imagine that, like Linda on the floor above, you could give her three taps, she has to go... suck it up there, Brownie.
Who knows, but they should bring those back. We should be able to put children in them in school and it's kind of move them around the school classroom.
Okay.
Have you presented this idea to the rest of the faculty, Brownie?
I like my job. I want to keep my job.
Probably a good idea. If you work in a supermarket and you know the workings of the suck system, do let us know. Sophie says, let me tell you, having worked in one, the back of a chemist's is not exciting at all.
Oh, damn.
That's what they say. That's what they want you to know.
All those amazing bags that they get to put and curl the top to put all the prescriptions in.
Exactly. Something's going on.
If I worked in a chemist, everything at home would be stored in them bags. Sugar, coffee, everything. Stephen says, I worked in a supermarket. Sadly, no, you can't fit a child in there. But your question on it is continuously sucking this particular supermarket. No, there's a sensor that switches the vacuum on when you put the canister in there.
It still sounds so cool, doesn't it?
So it's not sucking all the time, it's intermittent sucking.
Good.
Thanks.
Chris works behind the scenes. Tell us what you do, Chris.
So we've got contracts with Matalan, Co-op, the range. So I just thought it was quite fun, like, because you see when your people go in them shops and then they see the staff only or the plastic cover doors that nobody gets access to, that's where I go and do all my jobs.
Oh, so right, so the you know when you go in the bakery section, most of these places, there's like a door with like plastic drapes that you can see through, but you're not allowed in.
Yeah.
What is back there then, Chris? What is it? It's like a party.
Yes, that's where all the stock's held and that's where I go do all my inspections. So your goods lifts, your forklift trucks, your pallet trucks, all that sort of stuff. That's what I go and do in inspections on. So wow. I see all the behind the scenes and what they're doing. I know it's funny, isn't it? I do the job now, so obviously it's not as entertaining to me, but before I did this job, you're like that. And what's going on behind there? What type of party are they having?
It's one of my sadnesses that in radio we don't get to work with forklift trucks.
Wouldn't it be great?
I'd love to do that.
Imagine that. You could bring. I mean, you struggled earlier on bringing the coffees in on a guillotine that we've got in the office.
But we don't have enough trays in the kitchen, do we?
Well, we could have a forklift truck to bring those in, wouldn't it?
That'd be good,
wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Quick question. You know, like the police are allowed to commandeer vehicles and all that kind of thing. You just show your badge. Are you allowed to go in the back of any shop that you want now because of your line of work? Just show your badge and have a look around there?
Yeah, just show me ID and then go and have a play on the forklift truck and then go about my business.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he does.
Yeah, brilliant.
Those behind the scenes, behind the curtain rooms. Warren wants to add another to the list. Where they keep the camera in the cinema.
Oh, yeah, what goes on in there?
Yes.
Someone smoking cigars and that.
Surely it's not still like putting like loads of film through rollers and stuff.
Well, we had someone come in and play, and again, I'm 2,000 years old, but they did Herbie Goes Bananas at our school. And it hit 3 points during the movie. They had to pause to change the reel. Yeah. It's like during the war. Really bad. Honestly, kids, don't moan about stuff these days, that's for sure.
The Daily Takeaway.
Richie's Daily Takeaway.
So we kind of ended up talking about careers and stuff a fair bit on the show today. And in the grand scheme of things, I would say the world of radio presenting or DJing is not really featured in many TV shows or films. It's not normally kind of featured. We've had like Good Morning Vietnam and The Boat That Rocked, and that's kind of it, I think, to be honest with you. But that's going to change because you may have heard the adverts for it here on Absolute Radio. There's a new TV show that's coming out, I think, starts on Sunday night on Channel 5 called The Night Caller, featuring Sean Pertwee, who plays a late night radio DJ that has a weird thing happen to him. Here's a little clip.
Welcome, folks, to Night Talk, the late night radio show for those of you who live in the twilight hours. What's on your mind, Tony?
Sean Pertwee stars as a late night talk radio DJ.
Yeah, I hear you.
With Robert Lannister as a lonely man desperate for a connection.
You gave me hope.
Talking for a living.
I'm begging you, please don't do this.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
This is the last broadcast you'll ever give.
The Night Caller, a brand new 4-part drama. Starts Sunday at 9 on Channel 5 and My5.
I'm excited about it.
It does sound good.
It'd be nice to watch something that's about our line of work. Yep. And no doubt, and I remember when I was a kid, my friend Richard's Sainsbury's dad was like chief pediatrician at Torbay Hospital. So if I was around at his house and Casualty was on, he would pick holes in it saying, that's not realistic, we wouldn't do that, whatever. So I'm wondering whether The Night Caller, when we watch it on Sunday night, will it be realistic, right? Will Sean have to back time to hit the news? Will Sean have to get people to say a phrase when they answer the phone to win lump sums of cash?
Will Sean go home and find that none of his nearest and dearest have actually listened to today's show?
That's it, and that's a message for all of them, actually. Yeah. Will Sean go for a wee and then forget his pass and have to be let back in again by security?
Yeah, because that happens, doesn't it?
That happens quite a lot, mainly to one of us on this team. Will Sean have to walk 300 metres to use a printer that's run out of paper? So, just a few questions ahead of Sunday night's show, but we would like to ask you, has your line of work ever been depicted in TV or film? And the question is this, was it realistic? Was it accurate? Matthew Dawkins says, no, I can honestly say I've never seen the life of a professional tabletop board game designer rendered in media for the big or small screen. He says it's a damn injustice. I agree. Dan from Exeter says, Postman Pat, not realistic at all. Everyone is home and never saw him bitten by a dog or had too much work to do and not enough time. Popping in for cups of tea on delivery never happens.
Kate in Basildon says, I'm a midwife. Yes, my line of work is on a lot. Most of the time, highly inaccurate, and I end up shouting at the TV, call the midwife is the nearest to reality.
Really?
Even though things have moved on a bit and there's a lot less bicycles.
Hi to the bald barber in Weymouth. Hello, chaps. I'm a barber and it always cracks me up watching David Platt cut hair on Corrie. But maybe he's onto something, mind, as the customers leave the shop with the same haircut they came in with. We've got Colin on the line. Colin, what's your line of work and is it accurate?
So my line of work is a production operator on an oil rig. And when we saw it on Amazon, as in everyone on the rig, they couldn't help but poke holes in it. It's so far-fetched.
Okay, so what was wrong with the rig thing?
They were going to light the flare with a rag. It's ludicrous. The flare, sorry, is a large pilot light, which is meters and meters away from everybody else because it's gas that comes out of the end of it. And obviously, fire and gas, not a good combination.
So you're never lying that with a rag, not in a million years.
No, it's good of Colin to confirm that, because when I watched the rig, I thought to myself, this is ludicrous.
Well, you texted me about that, didn't you? Sure.
There's
no way anyone's lying that thing with a rag.
Anything else that made you angry watching it, Colin?
To be honest, I didn't even watch the whole episode or the whole season because it made me that angry watching it.
It's a shame, though, isn't it? Because very rarely, a little bit like the radio industry, very rarely do you get drama situated around an oil rig. Same with the radio station. So I'm hoping...
Absolutely. But weirdly, they're going to make a second season, apparently. And I won't be watching that either.
Let's hope they fix that pilot light rag issue.
Yeah, hopefully.
Andrew from Paris says, I'm a firefighter and my job has been depicted in many films and it's never realistic. Fire in Hollywood and TV acts in interesting ways.
Oh, please don't tell me that London's Burning is inaccurate. I used to love that.
No, apparently that's a fly on the wall documentary.
Oh, right. Oh, good, good.
We've got Ben on the line. Ben, what line of work are you in?
I'm a submariner and that BBC programme Vigil was just... mental.
Okay, so look, it was a good program. We enjoyed it, didn't we? Remember us talking about it on Home Time. But you picked some holes in it, which is inaccurate about life on a submarine. Take it away. Come on, what are you thinking?
Yeah. So the fact that they could even get into the base and find a parking space was just the most unbelievable thing.
So what? When you go into get onto a submarine, then parking is an issue. Is that the case, Ben?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How long could you spend on a submarine at once, Ben?
A few months at a time.
Wow. So do they go down there with all the food in the actual submarine, or do they stop at the shops for a bit and do a bit of a big shop and then go back under again?
There's no drive-throughs.
There's no drive-throughs? You can't go for a drive-through on a submarine.
It's a dive-through.
No. Terrible. And Just Eat doesn't quite reach.
God knows you can try. Well, listen, good to speak to you, and thank you for allowing us into your underwater world very briefly.
Cheers, guys.
10 weeks of tickets.
That's right, 10 weeks of tickets could send you to see Blossoms in Manchester this week. We've got tickets to see them play on the 25th of August. Their new album is out in September and it's brilliantly called Gary, and we've come up with a great competition to go with it.
Yes, guess the Gary all this week to win your tickets to see them live. We've listened to the feedback. Some people have said that Gary Lineker and Gary Neville on the first 2 days have been a little bit too easy.
It was a bit route one, wasn't it?
So, who is this Gary?
Because we have to chase him.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Because he's the hero Gotham deserves. But not the one it needs right now.
So we'll hunt him. A watchful protector.
A dark knight.
It's like Only Connect this quiz, isn't it? Really tricky.
Guess the Gary. Let's say hello to Neil. How are you, Neil?
Hey, Neil, you all right, fella? Oh, he's gone.
Oh no.
No, Neil.
This is all we need.
I mean, I've said this before in my life. That's never happened to me before. It hasn't happened for a while. Is it someone dropping off the line?
No.
Our producer Nick is hoping to bring back Neil. Neil, step into the light. I think, Neil, are you coming through? Step through, sir.
The real tragedy is this competition is so good anyway. Such a genius piece of creative thinking by you and I.
You are calling.
Of course, he's not there.
I think Neil's blown it. What are we going to do then, team?
A secondary Gary will be found during the next song.
Love it. But we rumble on.
With a missing Neil, and we've replaced a missing Neil with a present Vicky. How are you, Vicky?
Wow, it's me.
Yes.
Do you feel like fate is smiling on you here, Vicky? Because Neil was there and something happened to him. Now you're here ready for the competition.
Yes, it is.
She's overwhelmed.
She's certainly... This whole episode of Guess the Gary has been overwhelming for everybody concerned today.
Vicky, give us a very quick update on your day. Have you had a good day so far?
Not too bad. I've just been recovering from COVID, but I'm feeling a lot brighter.
Oh, bless you.
Good.
Blimey.
Let's put the... The glacier cherry on your recovery, and is that a term?
I don't know if that is, but it's fine. It's absolutely fine. I think given how things have been over the past 5 or 10 minutes, that is absolutely fine.
Yeah, Vicky, guess the Gary. Who is it?
Gary Oldman?
Yes, it is.
Well done. You're going to see Blossoms.
Fantastic. Been wanting to see them for ages.
Well, there you go. You're going to Manchester. Good on you. Well done.
Guess the Gary returns tomorrow and hopefully will run a lot smoother.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
We are very grateful to the many of you who listen to this Hometime show. It's deceivingly popular, but I'm under no illusion. There's nobody from UEFA who listens to this Hometime show, at least I don't think.
Oh.
And that's probably a good job because I, for one, am livid. Livid at the fact that for the first day in goodness knows how long, we've got no football tonight.
I was right, no games.
No games. There's been periods during this European Championships where there's been 3 games a day. Then recently we've been down to 2 games a day. There is no football in the Euros until Friday evening, 5 o'clock, Spain versus Germany.
Do you know what? I don't want to be controversial here, and I'm not being pedantic. Contrary.
Contrary.
Pain in the backside. I don't want to be a pain in the backside, but I'm kind of all right with it. I feel like too much football on all the time ruins your ability to watch games then when you want to say, is right if we have the football on tonight? Do you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
Because if you're not into football, you just think, well, at the moment, football's just on all the time. It's just non-stop football.
As if you've got, like, football indigestion kind
yeah,
of thing.
I just thought, I couldn't have another football. Couldn't touch it, can't even look at it.
We were lamenting earlier on that there is no football on TV tonight. Well, there is some football you can consume because the video has dropped from our Jumpers for Goalposts expedition to Germany over the weekend, thanks to Tesco Mobile. If you have a look on the App Absolute Radio socials, you can see the actual footage of Bush and I playing football. And I know it's awkward to say this myself, but I don't think we disgraced ourselves.
Yeah, you did well in goal. I think my back, I'm still actually can't walk properly after playing out of field for a little while. So the producer Gary did send us a little clip of me doing quite a good salmon-like header, but didn't make the final cut.
No,
it's the only good thing I did. It's not even there.
It's all a bit of an insult to have it privately sent, but find that it's not made it to the public.
But do check it out, and also well done to producer Gary for putting it together. And incidentally, been talking about Gary's today with the competition. He's a Gary with two R's.
Yes. We were speaking to the young fella earlier on the submarine, telling us how he could be down there for months, can't get drive-throughs, can't get deliveries done. Somebody very quick on the text, he should try Scuba Eats.
Wish I'd have thought of that when we were talking to him.
Isn't that good?
Keep those coming in. You guys are on form tonight. A text in here says, Butch and Ricky, two things. Firstly, there are a couple of other TV shows that feature DJs. We're just saying there's hardly any TV shows that feature DJs. Frasier, pretty good. Midnight Caller. Early 90s, starring Gary Cole.
How did we miss Frasier?
An absolute classic. Again, I'm sure we could pick holes in that. And then he says the second thing, try being in a job which is always depicted badly on film and TV. I've been in the police for nearly 25 years. I'm always shouting at the screen. I even got a role as a police advisor for a recent film.
Wow.
And the director never listened to anything I said.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
There's the show. Hope you enjoyed it. We kind of banged on a bit just before we got going there. Yeah. So what we're going to do is, small mercy, just wish you farewell, and we'll see you tomorrow.
And I'm also going to put myself into your spare room as well, if that's all right.
Yeah, the marriage did end during the show you just heard. Sorry about that.